Welcome to Jedi and Germs, a weekly talk show hosted by Alan Zog, but he's not here. But I'm John English, the Germs guy, and I am here with our trusty producer, Devin. How you doing, Devin?
Hey, John. Doing well. How are you?
I'm swell and dandy. And why don't you introduce our guest today?
Yeah, we do have a guest. He goes by a lot of names on Twitter, but we just refer to him on the show as Sean. On Twitter, you will find him at SeanEddie5, I believe.
That is correct. Currently, my name on there is Chandre Robershon, because it has Sean in the first and the last name. So, thought that was clever.
Yes, very clever.
It changes. It's been Sean Zobal, Chandre Iguodala. Today, it's Chandre Robershon.
So Sean is a hoops fan and a longtime friend. You'll often hear us on the show talk about me and Alan playing ball with him, some pickup hoops. Longtime Jazz fan, and he is guilty of being a Golden State Warriors fan at times.
I am an apologist for sure. For sure.
So we get a little bit of a different perspective with him today than we would with Alan. Of course, we'll miss Alan, but this should be fun.
I'm the one slamming down my headphones every time I hear you guys slandering the Warriors, but I am a Jazz fan first and foremost, so that is the important thing.
When did you become a Warriors fan? That's the real question.
I went and saw them. I'll tell you what. I went and saw them the year before they went to the playoffs, I think. I think they made the playoffs that year. So I had to have been 13, I think. I went and saw them in LA against the Clippers. And I liked their style of basketball. I liked the way they spread the floor. I like Steph Curry and shooting the three. And, they are unselfish. And so I like that. I like that brand of basketball. And it's only gotten better since. So I don't know. I mean, not forever. It's not like I said, I'm a Jazz fan, first and foremost. But I do appreciate the way they play basketball. So.
Okay. Well, since we're talking Jazz, we can talk about Jazz preseason. We actually have some basketball in front of us. We have information. We have stats. We have stuff to dig into. As we record this, it's the fourth quarter as the Jazz are just thumping Maccabi right now. It was a rough first 5 minutes, but since then they realized they're an NBA team and the other team isn't. They're up by like 30 right now. So it's a nice preseason cakewalk that you would expect. Same thing happened with Sydney on Monday. What are your early thoughts on what you're seeing out of these players?
You know, for me, I'll be honest. I watched the first game and I had a little bit of a panic attack about how this offense is going to flow. Watching the game tonight, I know this is against, you know, a lower tier level of team. But I really like what I'm seeing, and I absolutely love the strides that Dante is showing. I like what I'm seeing out of Rubio and the passes. I like the pace. There's that increased pace I think we talked about last week on the show. Just good first impression overall. We'll see what it does with the NBA preseason games that are coming up. But I'm cautiously optimistic, I would say, Sean.
I think what I actually haven't watched the full game, but I did watch like a 10 or 12 minute recap of the first one. And what I noticed is I thought the defense was actually going to be better. I thought we were going to be able to just shut them down completely. And they were actually getting open shots, which I thought was, I mean, and it might just be because it's preseason. They're just getting used to the rotations and things like that. But I thought they were going to just completely shut them down. And then on offense, all I really saw, like I said, was the highlights. So I thought we looked great on offense. So I love Rubio and the way he's going to be able to find in the pick and roll, find Gobert, who looks obviously dominant against these lesser opponents. But you know, I also I got to say that the whatever it was, I don't know if it was the Root Sports or whatever that made the coloring all weird. So that was a thing, and I was like, okay, hopefully that was an issue. So hopefully that's not what we're face up against this, the rest of the
John, way. Did you notice that as well?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was my TV, but then Twitter revealed that it was everybody. It was just this weird blue tint.
But it was better tonight, right? It's not just me?
Yeah, it looks normal to me tonight.
Okay.
That's good. Didn't want to face that all season.
I was like, that's like a depressing shade that we're seeing there. Like, you just kind of feel sad watching it anyway. It had like that... New York crime show vibe to it. You know what I'm saying? Not the LA crime show where it's like kind of a yellow tint.
Yeah, you just expect steam to be coming out of the stairwell or something.
Exactly.
Some homeless guy rummaging through trash. Yeah, whatever it was, they apparently fixed it tonight.
But what about your takes? What are your thoughts as we kind of get kicked off with the season and this new squad?
Well, not to get all excited, but I think we're going to go 82-0. I think they look. I mean, we'll know more when they play an actual NBA team. We knew these were going to be exhibition games, and even tonight, where they had a rough first 5 minutes. You know, right now it's 107-71. They've got it under control, you know, and they beat Sydney by 25 or 27 or whatever it was. So all that looked fine. And also tonight, you know, they don't have Hood. They don't have Mitchell. They don't have Johnson. They have significant guys in their rotation who are just kind of taking tonight off. And it's giving a chance to have the other guys play. And everyone's looked good tonight. You know, there are small things we can quibble about, but in preseason, things you want to see. You want to see Alec Burks hit some outside shots. He has. You want to see Derek Favors move normally. He does. You want to see Gobert dominate no matter who's out there. He does. Dante Exum, I think, has looked excellent so far. I think guys that we were worried about in summer league, like Joe Ballenboy, he looks a lot better. Royce O'Neal looks great. And that's the thing really about this preseason is, you know, no one looks bad. No one looks like the obvious one to cut. And so, you know, Quinn and the front office, they have some hard decisions coming up.
Yeah, I was worried about Ballenboy. And then when he came into that game on Monday, he just dominated. I mean, he looked fantastic with the way he was going up, getting the rebounds, had a nice putback dunk, defended well. He looked like the Ballenboy we expected in summer league, in preseason. So we'll see what he does there. A couple things you touched on. Alec looked great tonight. His shot looks good. He looks to have that spring in his step again. I'm curious how aggressive he'll be, compared to what we've seen in the past. I'm hoping he dials it back a little bit, because having him healthy is more important than him getting a couple free throws to me. And one guy that kind of stood out to me tonight, Cephalosha has the tenacity on defense, and I think everybody knew that, but he seems to have a pretty nice handle on the ball.
Yeah, he looks totally comfortable dribbling. He looked great in the fast break. He seems to know exactly when to pass it. I've been very happy with what he's been able to show tonight. Here's a weird stat that probably won't show up much in the regular season. Alec Burks is 3-for-3 from three. Royce O'Neal is 3-for-3 from three. Joe Ballenboy is 2-of-3. The Jazz right now are 52% from three. Now, obviously, the competition has something to do with it, but it's cool to see these guys who are just hoping to make the rotation being able to shoot like this.
And those numbers are very different from what we have been told for several months the Jazz team would be, right? We were told that this was not a team full of shooters. We were told,
yeah,
Tabo can't shoot, Rubio can't shoot. You know what I mean? Mitchell's a rookie. Who knows what he'll be able to do? Dante's always had a lot of criticism on his shot. He knocked down a corner three that was wide open. I kind of wanted him to drive to the basket just because I want to see him posterize someone. But he knocked down the three, no problem. So I'm just waiting for Rudy to get in on the action.
And I think for me that what has stood out in the preseason is it's like a testament to Dennis Lindsay and how he's been able to, like, we're having arguments, or well, maybe not arguments, but discussions about like the 13, 14, 15 spot on the roster, and we like them, and we're so deep. We have so many different guys who can shoot. Obviously, we can play defense with the best of them. And I just love the different pieces that he's added, both with rookies and also with free agent signings that gosh, we're not even talking, like we have the best center in the league, and then we have all these other players that can complement him, and it gives us so many different avenues to improve throughout the season. So
yeah, and also for Quinn Snyder, because right. I think, John, you may have pointed it out on Twitter during Monday's game. You saw Gobert and Udo in the game together, which I don't think many of us were expecting that.
No, I mean, preseason's time to play as much as you want with possible lineups. See what people can do. You know, Udo, one of his big strengths, watching his European highlights, was his ability to switch on defense and being able to guard up on the perimeter. And so defensively, it makes sense to have both of them out there with what I was able to see. You know, he can stick with guys in mid-range and go out if you've got a stretch four, put him on that, and that's fine. And Gobert, you know, he can guard anything within 15 feet of the rim. So that was a good combo. It was nice to see.
And I think someone pointed it out. I don't remember who it was, but I believe Jerebko was in the first half, and someone said he did a switch from the three down to the one on a defensive play, which is really beneficial for the Jazz. They had a guy last year that could do that. I don't know how many minutes you'll see, you know, Jerebko getting, but it's nice to have a guy like that even deep on your bench if you need to go there.
And it seems like very few players are actually tied to one position. I mean, you have Rudy, who's going to be a center, and Rubio at the one, and I mean, even like probably like Neto and stuff at the one as well. But almost every other player can play multiple positions, which is awesome in today's NBA. You know, you have even Favors who can play the four and the five, and you have Donovan, who it's like, oh, is he going to play the one? Is he going to play the two? Hood can slide to three from the two and even bring up the ball. It's awesome to have so many guys who can play make and who can defend different positions and be so versatile.
Yeah, and just build, you know, with the length that you have in Mitchell, the length that you have with Cephalosha, you know, the Jazz and Quinn especially just has endless possibilities, doesn't he, John?
Yeah. The thing about the way this team was assembled is it seems like just about everybody was assembled with defense first in mind. But that doesn't mean that none of them can score. There are plenty of guys that can score. There are some important pieces that struggle with it. Like Rubio, I don't think he's hit a shot in preseason yet. All of his scorings come from free throws. So that'll be an issue. But the only reason I think it looked like an issue tonight is because he didn't have Hood starting the game with him. Hood, it does look like they're going to have him be a focal point on offense, especially early. And then as you get in deep in the game and you're rotating guys in and out, I think Exum and Mitchell are going to take turns being hot off the bench. I mean, there's so many tools that Quinn has to play with. It's going to be interesting to see who really emerges.
That's what I'm really excited for, because you have so many different storylines that could, you know, Favors could become 15-16, or is it, yeah, 15-16 Favors. Burks could reach his potential. Exum could become the guy that we drafted him to be. You know, Mitchell could be, you know, the same story there, the steal of the draft. You have so many different, you know, Hood can become a primary scorer for the team. There's so many different guys that can take that next step like even Rubio in a different system that he's never played in a system quite like this. There's so many avenues for us to be, you know, if one or two of them play out, that's, you know, that's great. But if four or five or, you know, more of those guys pan out, like we could be looking at something really special.
And it's funny because we've talked about this on the show, John. We've talked about who's going to be the guy. Everyone's talked about who's going to be the guy for the Jazz. Is it going to be Favors? Is it going to be Hood? Who's going to carry that offensive load? My impression, at least from tonight's game, which I was able to watch more closely than the first, the passing is contagious. You just saw guys making the extra pass, making the smart play, guys getting good looks, you know, in the middle of the shot clock. It wasn't down to the last couple seconds like you worry about with teams overpassing. It just looks good, and I'm wondering if that's the pace, if that's the Rubio effect, or maybe it's partially just the competition. You know, when you're playing against lesser competition, the passes are there, so you take them. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there right now there's still a minute left, but they're at 31 assists. That's a lot of passing. Exum has 6 assists, Rubio has 5. Everyone's been sharing the ball, and that's really when they're most effective, is you get all those passes.
So we've got an emergency here, something we have to deal with right now. John had to leave in the middle of the podcast. Not only that, Alan's not here. So Jedi and Germs is no longer Jedi and Germs. It's now Devin and Sean.
Yep.
And we are going to proceed because I don't know that we're going to have a chance to get another episode out this week. So we're going to move on from talking about what we've seen in the previous two games. We're not really going to look ahead yet to the upcoming games. I think they've got Phoenix twice.
Yep, and the Lakers.
And then they'll go into regular season opening at Denver, correct?
I believe so. So that means we won't have any actual NBA competition until the first game of the season. So,
ooh. All right.
Still won't learn anything.
What we're going to talk about now is the NBA did their survey of GMs for the year. And we had the Jazz and some of the players come up in a few different things. So kind of just running through the list here. Rudy Gobert was voted the fifth best center in the league. Sean, do you agree with that?
I mean, look, we'd already talked about it, me and you, before. With he's behind Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol. Wait, I have him sixth on mine. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. Is that this year? No, it has to be this year. Yeah, 17-18 on the NBA. Yeah, I mean, I have him sixth. And so that is even worse. Let's see if I can get back to it. Yeah, so I would say he's better than... Well, I'd say he's better than Cousins. I'd definitely take him on my team. If we're starting a team today and we're drafting these players with nothing else, no other players on our teams, and we're just these, given these options, I take him over Cousins. He's kind of a head case. Marc Gasol, he's getting older. I would definitely take Gobert, actually. And then Anthony Davis and Karl-Anthony Towns. Now they obviously have a little more of an offensive, they're more of an offensive threat in, well, maybe they just have more tools offensively. But the defense of Rudy puts them right up there. I would put them in the top three for sure.
Yeah, it's funny that you have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins both listed as the best center.
Wait a second.
When they're on the same team. I maybe that's where we're getting at with the numbers here. Also receiving votes, you've got Draymond Green in that conversation, Jokic out of Denver, and DeAndre Jordan, you know. So Rudy's there. I think he's better than what they're putting him at, yeah. But I guess we'll have to see with this season. Maybe they're looking at the collective. How is he going to perform with the absence of that one guy? But we'll see. I think it's fair, but the thing that I like, and this just comes from Rudy, it's motivation.
Right.
You know, he wears number 27 for a reason.
Yeah.
So I think it'll keep him motivated and make this season even more enjoyable from his perspective.
And it does. I know you'll be getting to it, but they do have another vote for interior defense where he took the top spot. So that at least they're recognizing that, hey, like, he is the down low defender, the best in the league. So at least he has that.
And I mean, you can't really argue with that.
No, that's not a question.
Miami fans will want to argue with that. They always do. But otherwise, no. Rudy Gobert is hands down the best interior defender in the league. And it's just crazy to question that.
Yeah, I don't think it's relatively close.
Even Draymond Green, you know, Green is a great all around defender, but he is not the interior force that Rudy is.
Right.
He was voted the third best defender overall. That is behind the Claw, behind Leonard and Draymond. And I think, I don't know, is that fair?
I mean, it just depends on how you value defense, I guess. You know, I mean, it is in today's NBA, it is so nice to have somebody who can switch 1 to 5. As we already talked about, I do like the way the Warriors play, and I do respect the fact that Draymond can be that for them, where he can just guard wherever he needs to be. And then Kawhi is one of the best of all time up at the perimeter as well. But just, man, the way that Gobert can just challenge every shot and get to anywhere and down there, and just the speed and the way he can just move down there. It's hard to say. It's fair, though. I would still say that he's in the top three, you know.
I think of their styles as completely different.
Absolutely.
I think Draymond and Leonard are individual defenders. And if you're looking for an individual defender, absolutely they are better than Rudy. But if you are looking for a system defender, no one affects the entire team the way that Rudy Gobert does.
See, and I like what we've been doing is adding players who can get the steals too. You have Tabo and Ricky Rubio, who have both averaged a lot in steals, and Mitchell as well in his college career. And that's something that we haven't exactly had, as if I'm not mistaken, on the Jazz as of late. I can't remember. I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but I know we were lower as far as percentage of steals. But now having those guys up on the perimeter, they'll be able to take those risks even more than they were already doing on their previous spots. They'll be able to take those risks because they know they have the best defender, if not of, for sure right now, if not of all time, you know, behind them. They can take those risks, and that makes their defense even better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned Ricky. He was voted as one of the best passers in the league. He came in, I believe it's fourth,
I believe,
or tied for third.
Yeah.
So he is behind LeBron James, who received 36%.
That's crazy. I mean, it's true. I agree with it. It's just nuts that our the best passer in the league is a forward. It's cool. I like that.
Well, the number two guy, Chris Paul, last year was the winner of the survey at 62%. So you see LeBron climbing, I guess, and Paul dropping off. The other surprise to me is who was tied with Ricky for third. And that is John Wall, for one. John Wall is, I think, a good passer. But James Harden.
I don't know if I agree with that.
He got the assists up last season. You know, he nearly averaged a triple-double. But to have him on there, it just doesn't look right to me.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, maybe I just completely missed it and I wasn't paying enough attention last year, but I it's not like I remember like every, you know, couple weeks having this crazy pass that he would make to find somebody open in the corner that you would never expect, or like, you know, the way LeBron comes down, all of a sudden he finds the wide open guy. I feel like I haven't seen that too much from Harden, but I mean, like I said, it's not like I watch every game all the time, but I'd just be surprised if he's actually the third best passer in the league. I'd be shocked, actually.
Okay, before we move on, I've got a surprise.
Ooh,
we have a surprise guest. You're not going to believe this. The man himself, Mr. John English, Germs Guy, welcome back. Did you want to cover the defense, like the and Quinn's rating, things like that?
Oh yeah. When they were ranking the coaches, they said which head coach has the best defensive schemes. Quinn Snyder came in third. Third best defensive coach. Maybe a little of that going on. But yeah, I like to see that.
And Mitchell made it into the survey as well, right?
Yeah, Mitchell was they said who is the biggest steal based on where they're drafted. Mitchell came in third. Which I think is kind of obvious at this point. he's getting a lot of national love. I mean, he's a shoo-in for the rookie team. I would say he's, you know, I mean, really being objective about it, I bet he finishes as like the fourth or fifth best rookie of this class. There are other guys who are going to have platforms and other guys who already look ahead, but Donovan's just right there. I think this is going to be looked at as a very deep class, and he'll be right up there.
Yeah, and to think what the Jazz got him for is just mind-blowing, is it not? I mean, you give up Trey Lyles, a guy who basically spent last season on the bench, and that's it. And he goes to a team where he's going to be in the same situation, buried on the bench because they are deep at the forward position. So, you know, the Jazz are in a great spot. It was just a fantastic move, and Jazz fans have to be excited going forward with Mitchell. And it's funny because he hasn't played a true NBA game yet, not even an NBA preseason game. He's played against, like we said, tier two opponents.
Yeah, that's going to be fun when they go up a real NBA team next week. Let's see, their next game's against International again, but after that, they will finally get calendar. When we record next week, we will have the information of how Mitchell does against another NBA team in preseason.
So any other big takeaways from the survey? I know that they did, I mean, everything from the most versatile player, LeBron James, to the best leader, LeBron James.
considered a top four center. That's kind of silly. But I think with these type of surveys, I think a lot of people think about offense more than defense. When you start talking about defense, then everyone goes, well, of course, Rudy, because puts up numbers, but he has never been on a winning team. So I don't know. After so many years in the NBA, some of it's got to be on him.
Are we talking about Cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we agreed. While you were away, before you were able to join us, Jean and I were talking about the irony of having two of your centers above Rudy in the survey play for the same team. So really, one of them's not a center if they're both starting, right?
You would think. You would think.
So I'm not sure if you saw Jazz assistant coaches getting some love for the best assistant coach in the league. They received some votes. I believe Quinn Snyder was voted in the top four or five when it came to the best motivator in a coach. And it just took me back to that play. I think it was a couple years ago where he's screaming, "Wake up!" at the players from the sides. And of course the death stares that you see from Quinn, where he looks like the supervillain. I would think that maybe he's even more motivating than the GMs are giving him credit for.
Okay. Well, for some reason, the NBA.com site is not pulling up correctly for me. I would like to look at ESPN's page, but a curse on anyone who decided it was a good idea to automatically play sound when you open the website.
Ads are serving their purpose, John. All right, so let's jump over and let's talk about the other award section, really, of the GM survey. Where we're looking at who's predicted to become the MVP, who are they expecting to win the title, things like that. Sean, you've got that information?
Yes. So if we want to do MVP first, we have LeBron James is number one at 50%, then Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Steph Curry rounds out the top five. That's who they have.
So am I missing Russell Westbrook from there?
Yes, you are. And it doesn't show any other votes or anything like that. It just shows these five. So yeah, no Russ, no back to back, I guess.
John, does that surprise you? I mean, zero love for Russ after winning it?
It surprises me he didn't get a single vote, but it's understandable that he put up the numbers he did, but he got two all-stars who put on his team. And so when you think of second through sixth place in MVP voting last year, they're the ones that show up. I mean, I think we all picked LeBron to win MVP this year, didn't we? I did.
I would think so.
I think it's Kevin Durant.
Of course you do. Of course. I told you we'd get a different perspective here, John. It's funny, though, because you think about Harden. They added Chris Paul. You think about KD and Steph. You know, they're on the same team. They've got Klay. They've got Draymond. You think about LeBron, even. And in my mind, LeBron is the best basketball player on the planet.
I think it's a question, yeah.
But still, they added IT. They took away Kyrie. He gets Crowder to that kind of relieve some of that defensive pressure off of him. They bring in Derrick Rose, who I don't know what we're going to see with Derrick Rose, and the same with Dwayne Wade. You know, these guys are getting people put around them. If they want a guy who's completely on his own and carrying the load,
Rudy Gobert.
Or, I mean, I'll throw some love out to Damian Lillard or John Wall or someone that's really kind of the man on their team. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's the main argument for Kawhi. Is Kawhi is clearly heads and shoulders the guy on his team, and he's arguably the best two-way player in the NBA, and that's why he's always going to be there. it's funny because when you mention those other guys, when I think of John Wall, I instantly also think of Bradley Beal. When I think of Damian Lillard, I also instantly think of CJ McCollum.
Right.
Not to say that they're equal all-stars, but you just kind of think of those duos that they have. And I don't really think of Kawhi as a duo with anybody. Harden's about to be a duo with Paul. Curry and Durant and Draymond and Clay, they're like a four-headed hydra. James, I mean, Isaiah Thomas, he isn't going to start the season. There's going to be a couple months where they don't even have him. But they have all of these former all-star, you know, surrounding pieces. So, you know, good enough to be best in the East, but we'll see what it means in the playoffs.
And we'll see. I don't want to take anything away from Kawhi because I totally get what you're saying. But at the same time, he does have a Pau Gasol, an aging Pau Gasol. He has a LaMarcus Aldridge. All right, let's jump down to the other awards that are on that list real quick. Do we have a defensive player of the year? Did they vote on that one? Or coach of the year?
We have rookie of the year is the first one that I saw that has Lonzo Ball, Ben Simmons, Dennis Smith. Let's see.
Oh, that's right. I remember hearing about that. There was no love for Fultz.
That's interesting.
Number one pick, and you don't get any love, but Lonzo does. What do you think, John? Lonzo?
He's going to be definitely showcased. I think what you saw in Summer League is that Fultz is going to be good, but I don't think he's Rookie of the Year good. I think he'll be one of the best players.
Yeah, I think he'll be one of the best players to come out of this draft. I don't know that he'll have the same impact right away.
I'm inclined to think that it's still going to be Ben Simmons. My second choice would probably be Dennis Smith Jr. I think he's going to have a showcase opportunity, but I think he will ultimately be more effective than Lonzo.
And I kind of wondered about Tatum. You know, Jason Tatum looks to be a great talent, but I don't know that he'll be able to shine enough with Hayward being up there and Jaylen Brown and the Kyrie show happening in Boston. But I'd consider it. One guy whose name got thrown around, Teodosic. Sean, what do you think? Can a 30-year-old rookie win Rookie of the Year?
I mean, I guess technically he's qualified to win it. And I do love his passing. I think he'll win Passer of the Year if there's that. But I've heard he doesn't play that much defense. I guess that's not always what they choose for the Rookie of the Year. I'd also be surprised if he got the same showcase these other young guys are doing. And I just don't see the NBA going that route either. But I mean, hey. His highlight passes are something to see.
Here's the thing he does have going for him. And John, tell me if I'm making the case or not. Teodosic has all-star talent around him. Many of these high draft picks do not have that. So he can be throwing the ball to Blake, throwing lobs to DeAndre. He's really going to just kind of insert into that Chris Paul role. And if he starts to thrive, he'll earn his minutes. They also seem to look at record a little bit, not always. I know they do with like MVP voting, you know, it's always, well, who's in the playoffs. If he can be a big part of that Clippers team and get them into the playoffs in the, you know, fighting for home court position, you have to consider him, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll score enough though. I guess I don't know enough about him, I guess, but the only things I see from him is the passing, and I just don't know. I mean, usually, like, the Rookie of the Year is the one who gets, you know, 18 points and however, you know, he's filling out the stat sheet, but I'd just be surprised if he got that type of a scoring role enough to boost him to the Rookie of the Year. I don't know.
Any other awards?
I'm not seeing, I mean, there might be some more here, but I think we touched on probably the most important ones.
Okay. How about we jump over, do a quick talk on the NBA All-Star game. It was voted on, and the switch has been made to go from having the East versus the West to having the East All-Stars and the West All-Stars all lumped together, and the top vote getter from the West and from the East will then select from the pool to assemble a team. So you have to figure at this time, you may be looking at a Steph Curry versus LeBron James all-star matchup, which is basically going to be the finals, right? I mean, it's the same guys, right?
Yeah.
How do you see this going, John? What do you like? What do you not like about it?
I like that they're mixing it up. I like that they're trying to do something so that the game will be a little more competitive. I hate what the All-Star game has become the past few years, especially last year. Last year was so atrocious, where I kept waiting for defense competitive edge at some point to kick in, and it never did. And they were talking about, oh, so-and-so broke the record in the All-Star game. Well, that's meaningless. Whoever has the record of scoring in the All-Star game is meaningless when there is zero defense the entire game. So I'm glad they were doing anything to mix it up. I think they still have to get 12 from the East, so that's going to be a thin crop. I would expect that about, you know, six Eastern players are the last six picked because the Western players are going to be so good. But I'm glad they're doing it. I hope they have a live special when they pick their teams. I think that would be fun to watch. Probably won't, but I would really like them to. And, you know, guys that are picked later, it'll give them a chip on their shoulder to play against the captain that didn't pick them. So that entire aspect I like. I like that they're doing that. It adds another interesting level to the All-Star game. Hopefully it results in a game worth watching.
Sean, your thoughts on the change?
Well, I mean, just going off what John said, when I first read that release, I thought they were making the switch to just the top, you know, 24 guys. And I was just so excited. I was like, just reading through it. And then it's like, oh, we're still going to be picking 12 from the West and 12 from the East. And I was like, man, because it's just so, so deep. So I'm a little upset about that. And also to go off what John was saying, it's like to score the most in the All-Star game the way that it was, it's like, well, who can score the most in a layup line? You know, that's kind of, it's like, well, really, congratulations on scoring most in the pregame warmups. It's kind of how it felt. There was just no defense at all.
Yeah, yeah. In recent years, the main All-Star game has been more of the dunk contest than the dunk contest has even, right?
Right. And I mean, maybe there's also charity aspect involved now that they, I think the winners pick, everyone needs to pick an LA area charity, and then the winners get a donate to that charity. So that's cool. So hopefully that can motivate them a little more as well. And then yeah, this playground style captain thing, hopefully can do that as well.
See, you guys have both missed what I'm most excited about. I am most excited about how petty this game gets and how chippy it gets, because you have to realize you've got like Russell Westbrook and KD. Are they going to get paired up on the same team? Is LeBron going to pick Kyrie? Is LeBron going to take one of the guys from Golden State and say, hey, you know, Clay, if Clay makes the All-Star game, do you want to see what it's like to play with LeBron James? You know, what does this do, not only in this game, but what are the mental impacts of this going into the playoffs, or, you know, going into free agency down the line? It's interesting to think about that, isn't it?
I pray that LeBron picks Westbrook first and Durant then picks Irving first, and you just go from there. I really hope that happens.
I mean, this could get ugly, and I'm all for that.
Uglier the better. Pettier exactly. The better.
Exactly. Okay, let's jump to our next topic. Did we get any listener questions this week?
Maybe, but it's already 10 o'clock, so let's go to your quick hits.
Okay, quick hits. NFL, Cam Newton made a comment today that he thought it was funny hearing a female reporter asking about receivers running routes. Sean, I'd like your take on sexism in sports, particularly the NFL, and how stupid does Cam Newton sound at this moment?
It is dumb. You just see that look on his face when he gets as soon as he is hearing the question, he just kind of like smiles and is shaking his head. And it's just kind of unfortunate that he just kind of shook it off before she even asked a question. And it's like, well, I mean, any of us can talk about routes. I think it's silly that that's even a topic, but yeah, he definitely didn't play that one the right way.
John, where does he go from here? Cause I'm going to assume that you feel the same way. That's not a smart PR move.
Yeah, I mean, this is something you might expect from 15, 20 years ago, but in today's day and age, why on earth is it weird that a female professional reporter would know things about the sport she is paid to cover and would therefore have questions to try to get insight? It's just ridiculous. I don't know how you get a mindset to get to that point to be that way, because it's not like he's going to laugh off. Say if there's a skinny reporter, he's going to laugh him off because he looks like he never played professional football.
Exactly. I mean,
he won't do that. So why is he going to laugh off a female? Like women don't understand rules in sports. I mean, but you know, this isn't the first time he's done stuff like this, and maybe all the pushback he's going to get from this one will wake him up.
Yeah, we'll see. But I heard it and I immediately thought about some of the women that I follow on Twitter, and just fans and reporters alike. There is a great reporter who covers the University of Utah, and I guarantee she knows more about running routes than I do, and I have no problem admitting that. And there is a BYU/Packers fan who is very admiring, I guess is the word, of Jordy Nelson. So I'm sure she knows a lot about routes too, probably more than I do. That's not a surprise to me, and I have no problem admitting it. So it's just ridiculous that Cam would go there. Let's jump over to college ball. College football, local matchups this week. You have BYU going against Boise State, and you have Utah going against Stanford. Which game are you more interested in, and what are your predictions for both? Sean, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm probably wrong to ask. I've always been a Cougar fan. I had season tickets for the longest time, but as of late, I've become more of a fair weather fan. And let's just say it's not fair weather right now. You know, especially after the in-state losses. And so I would assume, you know, they're probably going to lose to Boise State. What do I know? If I'm not mistaken, this is kind of one of their first in conference tests, right? Isn't Arizona supposed to be not that great? So this will be their first.
Yeah, the Stanford isn't the usual Stanford, but they do have a fantastic running back, one of the best in the country, and it's Stanford. So I expect it will be a challenge for them and a great test.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I've transferred my fandom to baseball. Actually,
okay,
but
Utah, I like the NFL. Stanford, who are you taking?
I'm taking Utah. Taking Utah.
Okay, John.
Utah.
Is that the game you're more interested in?
I'm interested in BYU and Boise State. I want to see if BYU is going to show any sign of life contrary to what has been going on so far this season. But I don't think I can honestly pick BYU to win another game unless Idaho is on their schedule this year. And as far as Utah goes, the games where it's going to be tough, those tend to be the ones that they win. The ones they lose are always the ones where it's a surprise. Like, oh, great, you beat this team, but you lost to this other team. I think they'll get a satisfying win out of Stanford.
Right. My concern with Utah is that they look forward to the next week and they start thinking about USC and that Southern Division matchup. You know, that could be a problem for them, but they've had an off week to prepare. Hopefully they're getting healthy. I haven't heard any reports who's going to be under center for this game, but I'm going to take Utah, but not by much. I think it's going to be a really close game all the way through. Regardless, I'll be honest. I want to say BYU is going to win. I don't like Boise State. I really don't like Boise State, and I'm not a huge Cougar fan, but I honestly feel bad for the way that their team has gone this year. I think there were high expectations and they've been disappointed. But when I think about BYU and I think about their offense, I'm reminded of, I think it's the GIF where the guy is standing there with a stick and he's just poking something on the ground and saying, do something, do something, do something. That's how I feel fans are right now with BYU. Just, would you please do something? I don't care if you win, but make something happen.
Yeah.
But they've got the injury bug too, don't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what happened last week is they were down to their third string quarterback and they just collapsed. I mean, I watched the first half of the BYU-Utah State game and everything seemed to be fine. And then I went out on a date and then I come home that night and look at the score and I'm like, good grief, what happened? yeah, so they went down to their third string quarterback and they couldn't do anything. I can't remember who's expected to start against Boise State, but Boise State is a squirrely team anyway. And their offensive schemes thus far don't give me much faith regardless of who is quarterback. So I still think Boise State will win. I don't like Boise State, but I do think they're going to win.
Okay. I'm going to bounce back to the NFL for just a moment. Right now you have the Chiefs as the lone undefeated team in the NFL. You also have the Giants who have yet to win a game. Which gives way first, Sean? Do the Chiefs lose or did the Giants finally get a win?
I'd have to look at their upcoming schedules, but I really like the way that the Chiefs are looking. I'm an Eagles fan, so I know quite a bit about Andy Reid, and I think he's brilliant. I like the way he schemes. Alex Smith is looking great this year. Kareem Hunt is a monster. Their defense has always been good and is up to par this year, and I really like them. As far as, and being an Eagles fan, I know quite a bit about the Giants. They look terrible, and I'm very happy about it. So
you're hoping for Kansas City
to keep it going. Also, that's the only game the Eagles have lost, so it'd make that the Eagles look better too if the only loss they have is to the Chiefs. So as far as my rooting interest, I'm definitely cheering for the Chiefs to keep that going more so than the Giants. So,
okay, John, thoughts?
I'm rooting for the Chiefs to do well just because it's fun to have undefeated teams. But the Giants, their next opponent is the Chargers. The Giants are getting them at home, and the Chargers are also a winless team. I think that'll be the game that the Giants finally win. Chiefs are on the road against the Texans, who are 2-2. They've been inconsistent, but Texans, in those two wins, they've looked pretty good. So it'll be a tough matchup for the Chiefs. I honestly think the Chiefs and the Giants are both going to win this weekend.
It'll be interesting because the Texans were one of those losses was that last second loss or last minute loss to Tom Brady and the Patriots up in New England. You know, they gave them a real run. And if I recall, Deshaun Watson had just a breakout performance this last week. So I'm a Broncos fan, so I'm conflicted. I love Alex Smith. I don't want to dislike the Chiefs, but it helps me if they start losing a couple games. So we'll see. And Beckham's on my fantasy team, so I kind of need him to start getting it together. Another AFC West note, Derek Carr out for 2 to 6 weeks with a back injury he sustained against Denver. What do you think, John? Raiders in trouble now? Does this kind of eliminate them from that AFC West race?
It's really tough without Carr. They showed they really needed him last year in the playoffs. They're 2-2 now. Would say Carr misses 5 weeks. I can't see them doing any better than 2-3 in that kind of span. And that would put them, I don't think you can really think of the Raiders as any more than a wild card contender unless Carr can come back healthy and they just go on a tear.
Sean, you agree with that?
I agree. I mean, their offensive line was touted all last year and it hasn't looked like like it did last year. Amari Cooper is leading the league in drops, if I'm not mistaken, and he's supposed to be a star. And yeah, you take Carr out of the mix, and it's like, man. And then yeah, tough sledding in the division. I'd be surprised if they can turn it around, which is unfortunate. I actually was kind of cheering for him, being that they're going to be in Vegas in the next few years. It'll be nice to have a team a little closer to home. So I as far as the AFC goes, I kind of cheer for them a little bit. So
right, and me, even if you don't like them, when a team is leaving a city, I think we want them to go out on a decent note. no one wants to see their team leave and they were awful.
In shambles. Yeah.
You know, that's never a good feeling. And with Lynch coming back, I think there was a lot of optimism, and it's just, it's not looking good right now, but we'll see. They had a chance at Denver. I honestly thought they were going to pull it out, and just, you know, one throw sails there in the red zone and game's over. So we'll wait and time will tell. Maybe he's only out for 2 or 3 weeks and there's limited damage. You know, you never know with these things, but a back injury is not something that I would rush back from. So, okay. I think that's probably good enough for quick hits.
I mean, unless we want to talk baseball, but I don't know if you guys like,
okay, there's baseball going on.
Playoff baseball.
Okay. I'm going to give you a quick
hit. I'll give you my 1 minute thing. I'm a Dodgers fan. So there's that. Tonight was the wild card in the National League. It looks like the Diamondbacks beat the Rockies. It was a high scoring game, 11-8. So that's crazy. Yankees won last night in the AL. They'll go on to play the Indians, who are on a tear. They're fun to watch as well. They're kind of the team to beat. You got in the National League on the other side, you have the Cubs and the Nationals, who are also fun. And they have Bryce Harper, a bunch of star players in the MLB. It's actually a time many listeners might not like baseball, but if you kind of get into it, there's a lot of star young talent that's fun to watch. Maybe check out these playoffs and see what can happen.
Well, there's a lot of good storylines,
right?
You know, you've got, is it Judge?
Aaron Judge is a monster.
Who's you know, breaking records, and
yeah, he had a big home run last night to put him up over.
Are the Cubs in it? Did you say the Cubs?
Cubs are in it. Yep. So they're
so you do have a chance of a rematch. And if we've learned anything recently, it's that the sports championships like rematches. John, will you be watching any of the playoffs?
I tend to not pay attention until we're down to the final four, and then I will watch at least one World Series game. That's about the extent.
Okay. So, no, I may turn it on. Mm-hmm. I may look into it more. You just reminded me, though, there was a rematch and a championship game tonight in a tie series. But I don't know who won. John, do you know who won the championship tonight?
Oh, in the WNBA?
Yes.
There it is. The Lynx won. Oh, the fourth championship, 7 seasons.
So that would be the Maya Moore squad, right? I believe.
I think so. Sylvia Fowles looks like is the MVP.
Well, as long as a championship doesn't go to LA.
Yeah, except Minnesota got their championship.
No,
20 rebounds, Fowles. Wow.
I don't want any LA basketball championships. All right, can we all agree with that?
We can all agree for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, let's jump over and hit on some pop culture real quick.
Yay! Okay. Movie I saw this week was American Made. It's where he plays Barry Seal, who flew drugs on planes. They played fast and loose with the facts of the story. It was one where I looked it up and saw that They just kind of took some real people and real names and just decided to have fun with it. And so that was fine. I didn't expect I was exactly going to get a history lesson, but you know, it's really breezy. It's kind of a like-hearted Narcos. In fact, the Barry Seal character had an episode of Narcos. And after I watched American Made, I watched that episode of Narcos that had him, and it made me like the detectives less because of how callous they were towards him. I mean, they made Barry Seal a much bigger jerk in Narcos than he was in this movie. In this movie, he's a loving family man, you know, totally devoted. In Narcos, he's the scumbag they picked up at a whorehouse. You know, completely different ways that they're going to do it. But, I thought it was Tom Cruise's best performance in years. It flies by. It's from Doug Liman, who directed Mr. and Mrs. Smith and The Bourne Identity. So he knows how to have fun directing a movie. You know, and it was good. It was a good like 3-star adventure. It's did okay at the box office. It actually barely lost to Kingsman, which was number one for the second week in a row.
I think it's worth seeing. It's not one where you got to cancel your plans to go out of your way to see it. If you're there and you're wondering what to watch, it's worth it.
It's good if you kind of know what you're getting into, right? You don't set your expectations too high, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Any other movies this week?
That's the only one I saw. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did not see any movies. I've just been kind of keeping up with the fall lineups. Got started in on the Chicago series, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. I had not realized that Chicago Justice has gotten canceled in the spring. So I was a little disappointed to find that out because I liked the way everything was kind of fitting together. But there are so many of those shows that I'm willing to let that one go if I have to let any of them. So, but yeah, more of the same. Looking forward to catching up on The Blacklist this week more than anything, I think. And then, Sean, we do this thing anytime we have a guest, and you are filling in for Alan, but technically you are a guest.
That is true. That is true.
So we want to know your favorite movie and your favorite television series or favorites.
Okay. I will say, so right now I'm watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love that show. I actually haven't started watching the new ones yet. I'm rewatching the old ones with my wife who hasn't seen them. So we're going through those. And then once we're through those, it'll be about this new season will probably be about done. So we'll watch the whole new season as well. And that's one of my favorites of all time. I also like Arrested Development. That's probably the number one that I've seen. I don't watch a whole, like I watch a lot, but not in their entirety. So that's kind of a problem I have is I get through, you know, three quarters of a series of something and I don't finish it. But Arrested Development is one that I've watched all the way through and I do like that. And then, like I said, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is probably going to overtake that, I think.
Okay.
By the time it's over, it's hilarious. Then as far as movies go, I'm going to rattle off. I have 10 movies that I've given a 10 on IMDb. So I'm going to tell you them.
John, you need to listen closely and tell him if he's wrong on any of these.
Yes, I want feedback. I want feedback.
Paying attention.
I like Moneyball, Rudy, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Warrior, The Martian, The Lion King, Cinderella Man, Up, American Sniper, Saving Private Ryan, and Life is Beautiful. How's that?
All thumbs up movies.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that there are some in there. Like Cinderella Man is one of my favorites. Warrior, I absolutely loved when I saw that. I'm gonna go with that list. And The Lion King.
It's just a classic. I've liked it since I was like three, or probably I don't know. It came out in like 93, so I was two. You know, and it holds up. I've watched it recently. It holds up.
It does, and it's words to live by, right, John? Hakuna Matata.
Are you worried about the live action remake they're doing?
I'm not into the live action ones as much. I'm trying to think if I Jungle Book was fine. I haven't seen the new Beauty and the Beast yet. It's on Netflix. It's on my watch list. I'll probably get to it at some point. But like Maleficent didn't do it for me, and all these they haven't really done it for me. So I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I had a big problems with Maleficent. Jungle Book I thought did a pretty good job. Beauty and the Beast was fine, but it was kind of more of an uncanny valley with Beauty and the Beast because there'd be like 20 minutes where you feel like it's a shot by shot remake of the movie. And then all of a sudden it would break into 15 minutes of completely new stuff. And then it would go right back into the blueprint of the originals, kind of disjointed that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get around to seeing it when my wife wants to watch it one of these nights, I'm sure.
I've not seen a single one of them. So
sticking to the old ones then.
Yep. I'm sticking with the classics. So.
That's safe.
Okay.
That's fair. Although Jungle Book was good and Jon Favreau directed that and he's the one directing the Lion King remake. So that's why I'm not like completely nervous about it.
There's an Aladdin coming out too. I heard like Will Smith is the genie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that.
I don't know. I guess maybe because it's.
They're doing them all. I mean, there's.
Yeah, that's true.
Tim Burton's doing Dumb.
Yeah, I think I did hear that. That there was going to be a Tim Burton remake.
I'm sure they're doing Little Mermaid. Yeah, they're doing them all.
it'll be fun.
Okay. I don't think we get Treasure Planet, but you never know.
Anyway, those are my favorites. At me if you hate them. At me.
Yeah, do it and follow him on Twitter. Get him a few more follows, especially with jazz season coming up.
That's when my tweets pick up.
So we appreciate you coming on the show, we appreciate everybody taking the time to listen. John, thank you for being our very special guest. As we always say, please, if you're downloading and listening to us, give us a review. 5 stars is fantastic. You can lie about it. You know, if you think we're a 4-star podcast, but you want to give us 5, we won't tell anyone. You can find us online on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you get your podcast from. Basically, you can find us, interact with us, send us questions, things you want us to talk about. And we will look forward to talking with you next week as we wrap up jazz preseason and get deeper into the football season. With that, thank you for listening. John, please take us out.
Hi, everybody.